90. We'll read the entire psalm this morning. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in Thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as sheep in the sleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For they are consumed by Thine anger, and by Thy wrath are they troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before Thee, our secret sins are in the light of Thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in Thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they are 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of Thine anger, even according to Thy fear, so is Thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent Thee concerning Thy servants. O satisfy us early with Thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein Thou hast afflicted us, in the years wherein we have seen evil. Let Thy work appear unto Thy servants, and Thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And establish Thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish Thou it. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. Give us liberty and power to preach, wisdom to preach. We pray, O God, the Holy Spirit would undertake and enable and help. May the Word of God be what we need this morning. May it fit the individual and every circumstance. Bring honor and glory to Thy great name. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Now, this is my New Year's message, because New Year's is going to come and go before we have another Sunday morning service. So, we're going to do it today. We had to do Christmas early, now we're going to do New Year's early. But we're going to do them anyhow. Amen? I don't know what the big deal about New Year's is. I mean, we celebrate Christmas at the wrong time, but at least I understand why we do it. I don't know what the big deal about a New Year is. It's like a birthday. It's just another day on the calendar. Nothing changes. I remember when I was a boy, you know, your birthday came. Maybe Mama would make you a cake or some brownies or something. That was the end of that. And now we have birthday parties for one-year-olds and invite 50 people. and spend hundreds of dollars on presents and take them to Chuck E. Cheese's and all kind of weird stuff. And the kid doesn't have a clue in the world what's going on. The party's not for the kid, it's for Mom and Daddy. We do insane things. We have big New Year's celebrations, and for what? You're just going to get up the next day and go to work. Amen. You're not even a year older when you celebrate New Year's, unless you're one of them rare people that got born on a particular day. But we'll take any excuse, any occasion to have a party. And to celebrate and to take time off from work, and usually to spend money we don't have. There's more fussing and fighting during the holidays than any other time of the year. More folks lay out of church, pretend to be religious while doing it. It's just amazing. But we're going to celebrate New Year's anyway. And then, of course, everybody's going to make the proverbial New Year's resolution, which everybody knows that nobody is going to keep. And I don't know why we pick New Year's to do that. You could do that on your birthday, you know. Or actually, you could just pick a day at random and say from this day forward and make a resolve and then not keep it, you know. You could be a serial breaker of resolves, you know. You could pick the first day of every month. That would give you 12 shots at it. People make all kind of silly resolutions, and they know when they make them, they're not going to keep them. I don't know why they do that silly stuff. I got to thinking about that one time, and I wondered, you know, why is it that we make resolve, we make a resolution or whatever, we make a determination that we're going to do certain things or we're not going to do certain things, and then we never carry through with it. It almost never comes to pass. There may be some notable exceptions, but they would be the exception to the rule. The rule is we don't keep them. I'm going to show you why that is here in a minute. But I want us to look at Psalm 90 for a couple of minutes because there's some interesting things here. Psalm 90 is all about time. Psalm 90 is all about how short your life is. Psalm 90 is about you're here this morning and you're gone this afternoon. You're like a delicate flower that blooms in the morning and perishes in the evening heat. And you'll be here and you'll think your life is significant and you're important and you've done something significant and impressed somebody, and you'll die and the world will go on as though you were never born. The world will take notice of most of us about as much as it does a dead possum on the side of 77. Amen. There's another one. Boy, there's a lot of them out this year. And that'd be the end of it. We don't think about them anymore. It's downright depressing sometimes when you think about how many people won't be upset when you pass. Because it's most folks. You know, if you've got a family, a big family, 30 people, 30 that know you and care something about you, and of them 30, maybe you've got a wife and 3, 4, 5 young'uns, and they really care about you. Maybe a grandma or grandpa, they might care about you, but all them cousins and stuff, they're going to let you slide pretty quick. And in a month or two, all your friends have forgot about you, and most of your relatives. It may take your kids a few months, and it may take your wife a year or two, but you will pretty rapidly slide into the abyss of history. And it'll be as though you never were. Yet, we always think we've got all the time in the world. That we're going to get this done and do that, and we're going to accomplish this, and we're going here, and we're going to see that. And you'd think, the way we look at life, that we're going to be here 10,000 years. And it just isn't so. It's a delusion. God's got a lot to say about time. And so I'm going to take Psalm 90 here and go through several of the verses, and then I want to make some observations, if you'll allow me. It said, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. God always has been. Amen. Never has been a time when God wasn't. He said, well, explain that. You explain that. If I could explain that, I'd be God. I don't know where God came from. I don't know. I mean, there's some things you just aren't big enough to ask the question, much less understand and grapple with the answer. There's some things you just have to believe are so and learn to live with it. And people say, well, you know, if I can't understand a thing, well, there's all kind of stuff you don't understand. God's just one of them. Just because you can't understand it don't mean it ain't so. Verse 3, thou turnest man to destruction, thou sayest, return, ye children of men. So in verse 3, God's got a controversy with mankind. Since the time of Adam, man has rebelled against God, and man still rebels against God today. And so the controversy is the same today as it was in the beginning. And men want to be God themselves, yet when they find themselves falling short and too small for the task, they want to run to God for deliverance. But they never expect God to bring judgment. It's a strange way we look at things. In verse 5 and 6, thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. God declares to man how brief his stay is. The brevity of life, the shortness of life, the little bit of space you've got to do anything should never take us by surprise, but it does all the time. People say, well, I just thought I had more time. Why in the world would you think that? There's nothing in history to make you think you've got a lot of time. Everything you look at declares that time is uncertain. Your stay is unknown. You could be dead tomorrow. But we just think, well, I'll do it later. I'll do it later. I got plenty of time. And young people are especially, you know, they're filled so much with their ego and they're so self-centered and they tend to think the world and the universe revolves around them and that nothing bad can happen. And besides that, I'm only 18. I'm only 20. I've got plenty of time. Well, you better check the graveyards out. Amen. There's many young folks out there as there are old folks. It's amazing. And so, God doesn't want it to take you by surprise. He warns you beforehand that your time is short. But then, whoever paid any attention to God? That's like paying attention to mom and dad, you know. The dumbest people on the planet are the people that raise you. Everybody cares more about you than your mom and dad. Your friends care more about you, you know. Look at verse 8 and 9. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins are in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away, in thy wrath we spend our years as a tale that is told. Now, that verse simply declares that there's nothing about you God doesn't know. The thing you think you pulled over on everybody, and maybe you did, you didn't pull it over on God. There is nothing He does not know. You have kept no secret thing back. Our lives are open like a book with Him, with whom we have to do. God knows your innermost secret. He knows everything you ever did. He knows everything you ever thought. He knows the motive and the intention in everything you ever did. We think we hide things and cover things up. And thanks be unto God that some things are hidden from men. Thank God for that. But don't be misled. Nothing is hidden from God. You didn't get away with it. And if you don't get it under the blood, you're going to face it one of these days. Verse 10. The days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years. Now, people say, well, you know, you're born and you have X number of days. You've got an allotted time and all this, that, and the other. And if your time's not up, you're way over your head is where you're at. That's where you're at. You don't know what you're talking about. I've looked at that thing from any number of perspectives and from different points of view, and there's just so much material on it. One place you read and you think, oh, I got it handled here, and then you find something else that contradicts it. I don't know how much time I've got. But I did find out there's some things I can do to shorten it, and there are some things I can do to lengthen it, and I don't know whether I've done those things or not. So I don't know. how much time I've got. I don't know how much time you've got. I'm praying to make it to 82. I want me and my wife both to live to 82. That's our target date. Am I going to make it? I hope. But I don't know. You say, well, it's appointed unto man, you know, 80. Yeah, but if reason by strength. Reason of what strength? Your bodily constitution. We're all put together different. Some people are stronger than others, hardier than others. Some folks got more fight than others. You might live 80. You might live 50. You might make it 80 or 90. What does it prove? Nothing. So why did God put that in there? To show you that no matter how much time you have, humanly speaking, it's still insignificant and still comes to an end. Okay, you get your 80. But you're a big, strong, robust, healthy fella or lady, and you make it to 80 or 90. George Burns made it to 100. He played in that idiot movie. He played God. I don't think I'd ever done that, but George Burns did. And God let that turkey live to be 100. But he's dead now, you understand. He made it to 100. Oh! A centurion. Yeah, a dead one. In the grand scheme of things, what is 70, 80, 90 years? I mean, just what is that? Well, it's nothing. You say, well, yeah, we have to live it. Yeah, that's the whole point of this message. I want to talk to you about living that 70, 80 years. I mean, it's an anthill. It's a fly speck. It's somewhere near nothing. But it's all you got. You better use it. What verse am I on? 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. All that verse says, don't waste your time. Amen. Don't waste. You only got a little bit. You better use it. Verse 13, 14, 15, and 16 all go together. I'm sorry, 13, 14, 15, and 16. And that's where man's asking God to bless his time. Bless our days and bless our labor. Well, that's great to pray that, but and we all want that. And God's willing to do that. But you have to meet certain conditions. You know, you can live a certain way and do certain things that God can't bless. And so, unless you're going to live in a manner and in a way that God can bless, you're wasting your time asking God to bless it. You can't live contrary to God's laws and God's rules and then expect God to bless your stupidity and your arrogance. Okay? Doesn't work that way. But we tend to do that. People are always wanting God to bless. No matter how we do it, no matter how we mess it up, no matter how vile we live, somehow we just think God ought to bless us anyway, in spite of ourselves. Verse 17, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us and establish thy work, the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. Bless us, Lord. Prosper us, Lord. Make our labor profitable. Make it fruitful. I guess we all pray that, don't we? I mean, I want God to bless. But sometimes I look at my life and I say, well, I ain't got much reason to expect it. I don't have much reason to expect God to bless when I look at how sorry my life is. So that whole psalm has to do with time and God's perspective on it and man's expectation about it. God looks at it and says, it's a blink of an eye. And man looks at it and says, we want you to bless it anyway. Now, I want you to look down at verse 12. That'll be our text. It said, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I want to bring you a little message. I just got 5 or 6 points here, and it's very simple. I want to bring you a little message entitled Day by Day. I started by making some comments about New Year's resolutions. People make resolutions for a year at a time. I'm going to do so-and-so. I'm not going to do so-and-so. I'm going to quit this. I'm going to start that. And make a resolution for a year. 365 days. 52 weeks. 7 days in a week. 24 hours in a day. And so they bite off this big chunk of time. A year. A year. And then they almost always invariably fail. I thought, why is that? Why are we so prone to failure? How come we can't make it? Then it dawned on me. You know, that year, it's a blink of an eye to God. But a year in the life of a creature that's only lived 70 or 80, that's a big, big, huge chunk of time. And I thought, God gave me an answer. I thought, this is it. I'll tell you why. It's because we bite off more than we can chew. We take on more than we can handle. We're not up to dealing with a thing as big as a year. It overwhelms us. It's too much time. It's way too long. A year is somewhere close to forever, especially if you're 16, 18, 20, I'm along in there. Now when you get as old as Brother Carroll, that's different, you know. But we say, I'm going to do this for a year. I'm not going to do that for a year. And then we get overwhelmed by it. And we get to looking at it and you say, oh my goodness, a year, that's like looking up a side of a mountain and saying, I can't climb that. I'm not up to a year. And I thought, we're not. But God never expected us to be. Look at verse 12. It said, so teach us to number our days. Do you know what the Alcoholic Anonymous people say? One day at a time. 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 Don't get your eyes way out here. Don't get fixed on a year from now, 5 years from now. It's way too much for you to deal with. Too much to cope with. Too much to comprehend. I tell you what, just narrow your focus down. Get through today. Manage it for today. You see what I'm saying? I think we fail a lot of times. We don't manage to pull off what we want to do. We don't get it accomplished because we don't look at it in the short term. We will look at it the big picture. We look at the whole thing, and it overwhelms us, and we get nervous about it, and first thing you know, we quit it. And we say, well, I made it 3 weeks. Yeah, but you weren't looking at each day as an accomplishment, each day as an end, each day as reaching a goal. You said, oh, I made it 3 weeks, but I still got 47 more to go. Oh, man. And we give up. We throw in the towel. So I want to talk to you this morning about, don't worry about making a New Year's resolution worrying about next year. Let's worry about tomorrow. The Lord said, teach us to number our days. I think we'd have a lot more success if we looked at things day by day. And if we patted ourselves on the back and had a little party at the end of every day and said, that's kind of one today. That's one in the tank. That's one God can't take away. That's one the devil can't get. That's one for the history books. I don't know how many more I can make, but I tell you what, I made it today. Today. I got through today. I accomplished my goals today. I did what I said I was going to do today. Now tomorrow's another challenge, and we'll face that tomorrow. But first I'm going to get me about 8 hours of sleep and get refreshed. And by tomorrow, I'll be all pumped up and revived, and I'll be able to take tomorrow on. And we have to live our lives and reach our goals one day at a time. Now, so I've written this message here. I have six little points. Six things that I want to do every day next year. Number one, I hereby resolve not to let a day go by without reading my Bible and praying. I'm not going to try and make it a year. I'm just going to do it one day at a time. I want to spend some time on Sunday reading my Bible and praying. And if I get that one done, I can mark that one off because this day is over and done with. This day is finished. And I had a goal. I had an objective. And I got it. I am a winner. I am an overcomer. I have conquered. Amen? So what did you conquer? Today. Today. The temptations of the day, the troubles of today, the flesh for today. I got one day. That's all I got. But that's all I was shooting for. So I'm not discouraged. I'm joyful. I'm buoyant. I'm all perked up. Say, why? Because I'm meeting my goal. Say, what'd you do? One day. Now tomorrow, I'm going to try it again. I'm not going to worry about Tuesday. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. It's one day at a time. If I get through today, I'm going to try it Monday. Amen? I'm going to resolve that tomorrow, today, tomorrow, the next, one day at a time, I'm going to read my Bible and pray. I'm not going to look out there and say, oh man, 810,677 words. All them chapters, them 31,000 verses. Oh, I got to read. Let's see, that's 10 chapters a day for 363 days. Oh, I'm worried. I was just thinking about it. I feel overwhelmed. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm not going to worry about all that stuff. I'm not going to set all them high sounding goals. But I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to spend some time today reading, and I'm going to spend some time today praying. I can do that today. Amen? I will not let a day come and go without reading and praying. Number two. Today, I will endeavor to do good and help somebody every day. I think that's a worthy goal. Amen? Every day, I'd like to have opportunity to help somebody. Now, I'm not going to say, oh, I want to be able to help little old widows, and I want to be able to help the orphan, and I'm looking for this. Because sometimes I don't see all that. Lord, I'll just take whatever shows up. I'm trying to get through one day, and if you'll just give me something I can mark down for today, I'd be a happy dude. Amen? Help me. Let me just march the little old lady across the street. I'll put that down. I've done good. Amen? Somebody's down and forlorn and down in the mouth and got muddy grub. Let me sit down and listen to them and cheer them up a little bit. I'll mark that down. Help somebody today. Done good today. You say, what are you trying to accomplish? Just today. I just want to get it done today. One day at a time. Today. Just let me do good. Let me read my Bible and pray today. Let me help somebody today. I worry about tomorrow, tomorrow, and the next day, the day after that. Right now, all I'm interested in, my objective, my goal in life is only 24 hours in length. Let me do somebody good turn today. And I'm here to tell you, Christians, we need to learn to do good deeds. We'd be a lot more effective with our witnessing and our standards and our convictions if people would see a little more love, a little more generosity in us sometimes. If we weren't quite so critical and mean-spirited, we might make a better impression. Amen? But I tell you what, when you've done somebody a favor and done them a good turn, when a little old lady is coming out of Walmart and she got a heavy buggy and the wheel, one wheel's doing this, and the little old soul can't hardly get it to go, if you take that buggy and just push it out and load them groceries for her, she's going to have a hard time telling you no to that gospel track. Amen. But if you walk by and say, sweetheart, did you see that little old lady? Man, she barely could move that thing. Well, bless you for your observation there, buddy. It doesn't do any good to say, be thou warmed and filled, unless... See? But us independent, fundamental, hard-nosed, King James only, that we forget about that being good to folks and good works. Well, you know, it's not by works of righteousness. Yeah, I know that. But it didn't say you shouldn't do them. It said you ought to do them and not leave the other undone. Amen, 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 amen. You ought to read the whole book. Number three. So, number one, I will not let a day go by without prayer and Bible reading. I will endeavor to do good and help others every day. Number three, I will do all I can every day to protect my testimony. Hey, I'm not gonna worry about letting my guard down next year. I'm gonna worry about letting my guard down today. Amen. If I can just take care of my testimony today, if I can keep my mouth shut, if I can keep my ugly ideas and my ugly mouth to myself, amen. If I can fool everybody and think make them really think I'm a real Christian, praise the Lord. Amen. I don't want to do or say anything today that would hurt my testimony. Now, I'm going to tell you, buddy, it's easy to hurt your testimony. You just go in the wrong places. Sometimes people get the wrong idea. They see you with the wrong people, they get the wrong idea. It doesn't have to be anything real. Perception is most people's reality. They just look at it and say, well, that's what it looks like to me, so it must be so. And so we need to be very, very careful about our testimony. Where we go, what we do, how we talk, how we act, who we hang out with, the places we go. Say, why? Because your testimony is critically important. Without testimony, you're pretty much powerless to do anything for God. Don't ever let anything happen to your testimony if you can help it. You say, well, I'm gonna work on my testimony this year. No! Work on your testimony today! Today, one day at a time. Number four. Now, some of y'all are not going to figure out how this one fits in here, but it's my list and I can put it in here if I want to. Amen. Being the preacher has some advantages. I will, by the grace of God, laugh every day. The Bible said, merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Life is it's tedious sometimes. I mean, even when life is good, it's got its problem. And it's easy to get down and get down in the mouth and find fault and sulk and whine and cry and fuss about it. No talent required. Jordan can do it. Anybody can do it. And I see a lot of people doing it. And of course, they're miserable. And they make everybody around them miserable. I know people, honest to goodness, I think the only time they're happy is when they're miserable. And they're happiest of all when everybody around them is miserable as they are. Now, by the grace, I don't want to fall into that rut. One, it's not healthy. Two, it doesn't do anything for you. It doesn't change anything. I want to laugh. I like people with a sense of humor. If you can't laugh, and if you can't laugh easy, I don't want to be around you because you've got a problem. Kristen Cole was over at the house the other day. She's such a sweetheart. That kid laughs at everything. And I don't mean... sometimes when some people laugh, it's not really laughing. When this kid laughs, her eyes light up, her face lights up, and she shakes all over. I mean, she laughs with her whole heart. It's the real deal. I like that. People say, well, he laughs too much. I don't know how you can do that. Now, I think you can be silly, but laughing, you ought to be able to laugh at yourself. Somebody said, if you can't laugh at your religion, if you can't laugh at your politics, you can't laugh at your sex, you're too thin-skinned to be in this old world. Amen. People say, well, there's three things we don't talk about in this office. We don't talk about sex, religion, or politics. That's because everybody there is a deaf mute, right? You take them three things out of the equation, ain't nobody talking about nothing. It's good to laugh. Have a good sense of humor. And I don't mean just a smirk on your face. You ought to have a state of happiness. A state of joy. It's an internal thing. It's a condition of the heart. You're not laughing just for the sake of laughing, but you laugh because you're at peace with God. You laugh. You have a good heart because you're at peace with your neighbor. Laughter doeth good like a medicine. A merry heart. You ought to work at it. I want to labor at keeping a proper attitude and being quick on the trigger when it comes to laughing, when it comes to having a merriness in my heart. Number five. I will do the best to be faithful day by day to my commitments. See, don't let your commitments overwhelm you. Say, oh, I got to do this and I got to do that and I'm obligated for this and I'm obligated for that and blah, blah. Listen, you're not one. You're not committed to all them things all at once. I've only got a certain number of commitments for tomorrow. So the only ones I've got to take care of are the ones for today. Why burden myself down? Why overwhelm myself thinking about, oh, I'm obligated to this, that, next week, and I'm obligated to that the week after that, and blah, blah, and just beat yourself up and give up in despair because I've just got more to do than I can get done. Well, don't look at it that way. This coming year, live your life one day at a time. In the morning, I got to go to work. And after that, I got to come home. I only got two things I got to do tomorrow. That's it. That's my whole schedule. I'm going to work and I'm coming home. And anything in between those two things is incidental. I'm serious, it's a heart attack. When I go to work tonight, I'm going to say, I got to get up in the morning and go to work. So when the clock goes off in the morning, I'm prepared, I'm prepped, I'm ready to go. I'm going to get up, get dressed, do all the things you got to do, and take off to work. As soon as I get to work, I'm going to start thinking about coming home. And all the stuff I have to do in between is just those things that I have to do to get home. Today. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, not next year. Today. I'm going home this afternoon. So I'm going to do this stuff today so I can do that. That's my commitment. I'm committed to work and home. I keep my life as simple as I know how. Somebody said, well, that's because you're a simpleton. Well, you're right. But I'm happy, simpleton. Don't bother me. Somebody said if ignorance is bliss, he's a blizzard. That's me. But I got no problem with it. I'm happy. Somebody said, he's a rut person. That's me. I'm a rut person. I like routine. I like knowing what's going on, when it's going to happen. I like routine. Somebody said, routine is just a grave with the ends kicked out, you know. I don't know. I like routine. I know I got to get up in the morning and go to work. I have some idea what I'll do while I'm there. I know when I'm going to get off. I know I'm coming back home. I know the wife will be there. We'll eat dinner, take a shower, watch a little TV, read the Bible a little, go to bed. What's wrong with that? I don't see nothing wrong with that. That's what I like. Number six. I'm talking about every day now, one day at a time. I don't know what I'll be doing 6 months from now. I might be dead and in heaven 6 months from now. But I tell you what I can do tomorrow if I'm alive. I will try to the best of my ability to tell somebody about my Savior. Amen. I'm not going to worry about Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I'll take care of that when I get there. My immediate goal, my immediate objective, because I have right now, and that's all I know for sure I'm going to have, I've got right now, Lord giving me opportunity, I want the boldness to speak up and tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could spend the whole year, there's that big block of time. And when the year is over, you look back and say, you know, I lived that thing one day at a time. And somehow God managed to open the door, and I either got to put out a track or talk to somebody and witness for Jesus Christ. I got to tell somebody every day last year, 365 people, I got to mention Jesus Christ. Maybe I didn't get to tell them the whole story, but I got a lick in. Amen? Maybe you don't get to give them the whole plan of salvation, this, that, and the other, but you get a lick in. I got a phone call. Was it last week? Some lady called our house and got the wrong number. Now, if you've ever called my house, I have a little thing on my phone. I've had people complain that it's too long, and I think that's because they don't like it. But I have a little thing on my phone. If you let it ring and I answer it, it says, hello, you know, you've reached the home of Dr. and Mrs. Robert Hensley. If you're a saved man or woman, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. And if you're not a saved man or woman, and then I give you just a real brief plan of salvation. Well, this lady called. And she got the answering machine. So she left us a message. She said, I called and it was the wrong number. But I really appreciated your message. And I just wanted you to know, I'm a Christian too. And, well, that's a real blessing. Amen. Say, what are you talking? Got in a lick. Said something to somebody. Mentioned Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about tomorrow, but that one day, got that one in. Amen. And if I can get a chance tomorrow to say something or pass out of track, I got tomorrow covered. Now that's six little things. You know, if we'd work on each one of them six little things every single day, can you imagine the impact we would actually have with our lives on other people in the course of a year? If you could manage those six little things every day, for 365 days, you'd at least have people guessing. You say, oh, I'm going to do it for a year. Next year I'm going to do this. I don't know about next year. I'm not promised next year. But if I get up in the morning, I've got tomorrow. And there's some things I can do today. If I say, I'm going to do this next year, then somewhere in the next year, I may try it. If I don't forget about it. So I'm not saying I'm going to do this next year and start 3 months from now or get an opportunity. Let's do it every day. One day at a time. Day by day. It said, Lord, teach us to number our days. And I think if we would break things down in simple little things like that, it's much easier to do it. It's not nearly as overwhelming. I remember when I joined the Navy and I got out of boot camp and they sent me down to Glencoe Naval Air Station, Brunswick, Georgia. I was going to be a jet engine mechanic, but they didn't have an opening in A school for a while. And so they sent me down there and they put me in the jet engine shop. Now you've got to understand, I've never seen a jet engine. I've never been within rock throwing distance of a jet. But all of a sudden, I'm going to be a jet engine mechanic, and they put me in the jet engine shop, and I walk in there on the first day, and there's about six or eight jet engines sitting there. It was the old J-65 that goes into FJ-4B Fury. They weren't much of an engine, but I was impressed. They're about 9 feet long, and they're about this big around. They weigh a couple of thousand pounds. And when you look at it, you ever see those things on computer screen or screensavers where they build them things out of pipes and then they disappear and they start all over again? That's exactly what it looked like. It was just about 5,000 pipes. I got no idea in this world where they go or what they do or why they're on there, man. I was absolutely overwhelmed with that jet engine. I'll be honest with you, I didn't know which end was the front and which end was the back. They could have had it upside down for all I know. I knew nothing. But it looked big and complicated and it overwhelmed me. But I said, you know, Bob, you're an ignorant little redneck from Rock Hill, South Carolina, and you are in over your head. Then they sent me to jet engine school. And I got there. And you know what they did? They didn't even show us the whole jet engine. They started showing us little bitty parts of a jet engine. Now, I can handle on little bitty parts. They're right here. I can grapple with it. I can get my hands on it. I can wrap myself around it. And then they took that little bitty part and they said, now this does this and so, and this is how that works. I said, okay, I got that. And they put that little part away and they get this another little part. And they explained what it was and what it did. And they went through all these parts. And they said, now, this one hooks to that one. And when these two are hooked together, remember what this does? Oh, yeah. Remember what that does? Yeah. Now, when we put them together, here's what it does. And pretty soon, here's 9 foot, 40-inch diameter, 2,000-pound jet engine, and I know all there is to know, buddy. Ask me. I am a jet engine technician. So now how did I get there? One little piece at a time. You're going to have to live your life one day at a time and accomplish your goals one day at a time. And if you try to say, I'm going to get this accomplished in my lifetime, you probably won't. What you need to do is say, I'm going to accomplish this today. You may have a long-range objective. There may be a goal down there someplace. But you're not going to get there in one day. You're not going to happen that way. And if you're not careful, you will let your life slip away one day at a time and accomplish nothing. Because when you looked at it, it was too big for you. It was too complicated. It was too hard. It overwhelmed you. And you quit on life. Whereas if you'd have taken it one day at a time, one task at a time, you could have gone, at the end of the day, victorious most days. And when the year is over, you look back. Retrospect is one of the greatest things mankind has. We see God's work in our lives looking back at it. You never see it looking forward. And you see your accomplishments looking back. You see the value and the impact of your life looking back. But you had to live it one day at a time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. I pray, oh God, give us grace and strength, determination to do those things we've purposed in our heart for tomorrow. Help us do them tomorrow. Help us to realize we have to do it one day at a time. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.